Gallard. I'm probably one outlier presentation this week. We were not really part of ITOP, but we have an NOPP with Shuey, Copper Cyclone, so one of our efforts is to look at some of the ITOP cases. So I'm going to present some very recent work with our coupled erosion wave modeling system, and my co-authors are Travis Smith, who's done all the modeling work, Su Chen, Jim Dykes, and then Dave DeWayne. So in conjunction with NRL Monterey, we decided to do this study with Panopy. It's a five-day forecast, so we do a five-day spin-up. And so the initialization time is on the 17th of September. We do a 72-hour forecast. So it's six-way, air-sea wave coupling. I have a schematic that shows you the wiring diagram, and it's using what's called the ESMF, or Earth System Modeling Framework, and that was work that was developed in part through DOD, and that work has been transitioned from NCAR to now NOAA as of October 2009. So anyway, I'll move on. So just an overview. Since we knew the area of domain for Fanopy, we didn't have to set up as large a domain as other people doing the real-time work. So for the CoAMPS, we do a 3-to-1 nesting. So we have 18, a 6-kilometer, 2-kilometer moving nest. And for our ocean, for NCOM, we set up a somewhat coarse resolution to get started, 8-kilometer, and that's the black box shown here. And it's the same domain and resolution for SWAN. So our boundary conditions from NCOM are from the global 1/8 degree, that's run operationally in that oceanal. And then for the SWAN model, we use WaveWatch 3 on that boundary as well. So for the atmospheric model, we have 60 vertical levels, 50 in the ocean. I already talked about the resolutions. The boundary conditions, no gaps, we use 1 degree no gaps. WaveWatch 3 talked about that. As far as data simulation for the ocean, unlike what Sue had just presented earlier, we were using MBOI. We're going to be moving to 3D-VAR soon. We used a 12-hour update cycle, and our coupling interval was every 6 minutes. So here's that wiring diagram. We've got the wave, atmosphere, and ocean components. This is using CoAMPS GC. We actually have 2-wave models. We have SWAN and WaveWatch 3. We have a little bit of WaveWatch 3 work to finish up. We have our ESMF interface, and essentially, if you're coupling between wave and atmosphere, you can look at the boxes, which information gets passed from the model that has pre-gridding. So from the ocean to the wave, we have the Stokestrom current, the wave radiation stresses, and the orbital currents, they're passed to the ocean model, and the water levels and the surface currents are passed back to the wave model, in this case, SWAN. So that just gives a very quick overview of what we're exchanging. This is our, we just did one run, so this is showing you our track. The model is in green, and then the observations are in red. That does fairly well, but as we get out in the forecast period, we see some divergence in the track. Okay, just briefly, some comparisons. The model is in blue, and the observations are in red. This is using best track, so the lowest pressure from the Joint Typhoon Warning Center was 944 millibars. I think I saw some offs, or maybe a little lower, but overall we're doing fairly well, but we have some over prediction, a little too intense as we get out to Tau, say 45 and beyond. And then we're looking at the sea level pressure here. These are the winds, sorry. So we had a max, I think our max winds were certainly over 115 knots, which is certainly too high. Sea level pressure shown here. So I know it's hard to read the scale, but here's 944, and then we were at least 10 millibars lower than that. So we still have work to do, but overall, it's encouraging. We wanted to look at how the wave model was doing. We didn't have any in-situ wave observations, so we thought we'd look at some of the altimeter data. So we looked at JSON 2. We also have NVSAT, and this is just showing you some of the swaths that were available. I'm just showing you one here. And our model was slow. We were six hours too slow. So what we've done here, we're cheating a bit, but I'm acknowledging it. So we shifted the altimeter data to coincide with the model time. So if you look here, we've got altimeter data at 6C and model data at 12C. So there is a 6-hour offset. So here's SWAN here, and this is on the 18th to 12Z. Here's the altimeter track. And we're looking at significant using a wave height. You can see a fairly decent matchup here. Looks like the model is indicating maybe around a six meter max. And depending on some of the talks I heard yesterday, it's kind of in the ballpark. I think somebody has some values a little bit lower. But when we start looking at the actual data, we'll have a better sense. And here's the U10. We're showing a max of around, I guess that's around 17 meters per second from the model, and the observations were a little closer to 20. And that this is all based on the altimeter. What did I do here?
Go one more.
I'm sorry.
Go forward.
Okay, Sue showed earlier the cold wake. So this is just a snapshot. This is her coupled model with waves of 3 kilometers. And you can see this is the evolution over time. And this is her, I believe this is her storm track shown in black. This is just some of the observational data at 18. So you can see the cold wake. Temperatures on the order of at least 26.5 degrees or so Celsius. And here's an image from, I believe, from Jeff, showing you some similar values. This is all around tau. The model time is around 43 hours into the forecast period. This is looking at our cold wake during the evolution of the forecast. This is at tau 43. We do have some 26 degree temperatures. We haven't even looked at the subsurface yet. And here's just looking at a time variation at the location of the star during the 72-hour forecast. You can see as time goes on, you can see the cooling is your 26 degree isotherm. So this is very preliminary results. And then lastly, we just downloaded the A4 mooring data last Friday, so just a very quick comparison. Up here is A4 here, and this is south of the tract of Fanopy. So we're just looking at observations are in red, model is in blue. I think the observations are every 5 minutes, and we're just showing a snapshot hourly. And here's it. This is at 8 meters, and this is at 30 meters. So the trend is fairly good, but you know the jury is out. It's still early, so we still have work to do. So I think I'm going to get you back a little bit on track here. So summary: we had a lag of several hours on the forecast compared to observations. It had an impact on the intensity. Travis Smith is speculating that this observed eyewall replacement cycle. Partial landfall may have led to some of this forecast error. Overall, we're doing fairly well on the cold wake. Again, we're seeing between 2 and 3 degrees Celsius. We're seeing pretty good comparison with altimeter data. Again, we had to, I'll say, cheat a little 6-hour offset. And then as far as our plans, we're gonna be doing higher res studies, adding a 3D bar and comparing against in situ observations. And we're gonna do extended simulations into October. We wanna study the cold wake. So we were looking at probably a 20 to 25 day study simulating the data that's available. And that's it.
Any questions? Okay, well, we're almost on time now. Thanks, Rick. Next, we have Chen Shui, given by Pat Hart.